Thank you, Wes, for that very kind introduction. It is an honor always to be here. It's before Easter that I had a chance to share with you before. We talked about prayer, and again, in the similar vein, talking about this idea of putting on the full armor of God. We talk about it in terms of spiritual warfare, and it was interesting this morning how God works. We come over on the plane in the morning, get up early this morning, got on the plane in Oahu, and you know, it's pretty packed. It's amazing how many people are coming over and back all the time. It's packed, and I was at the side of the plane that has three seats, and I'm on the window, and then Barbara, and then this gentleman was sitting next to Barbara. And so during the most of the flight, I'm going over my manuscript and praying, and then I pulled out my Bible, and I was reading through this passage that you just read just a moment ago. And so it was toward the middle of the flight, and I pulled out my Bible, and this gentleman over there, and he's a comedian and a former DJ, former radio personality, and he tours with the Brothers. I don't know if you know who that is. He's like a comedian. It's and I think his name goes by, it's Primetime Peaky. I don't know if you know him, but he leaned over. He says, "What's the word today, Pastor?" Now, he didn't know I was a pastor, but he figured out it must have been the hair, right? I'm the only guy, you know, dressed up, long pants on. And so I leaned over, and basically I read him that passage that he just read, and then we just started talking about it. And he was a believer and was really encouraged, and he encouraged me this morning. Now, we woke up Barbara. She was trying to sleep in the seat between us, and we're like leaned over with the word and reading through it. And then we were talking about how this passage that you just read is so meaningful for us right now because of what we've all been over the last almost 3 years. Okay. And there's a book that I was reading about resiliency. It was a Christian book that was talking about this, and it was really encouraging me. And I'm actually listening to it while I walk in the morning. And so part of the thing that it was reminding me about is how woefully unprepared we were for what happened, right? I mean, this pandemic and all the stuff that's happened with the politics and then with this crazy inflation, I mean, this for us, for our generation, this is our World War II, right? And we have no idea about the effects that not only it's having on us right now, but the effects it's going to have on our children going forward. And part of it is because we were woefully unprepared. We're so focused, even as Christians, on our own comfort, right? And we just want to have a good life. And then all of a sudden, this crisis that brought fear, and it just pounded on us, and we realized how unprepared that we were. The book that I was reading said, we have an astonishing capacity to rally. He's talking about for us, the way God created us. We have this astonishing capacity to rally in the face of calamity and distress. We rally and rally, and one day we discover that there's nothing left. All the reserves are gone. And our soul says, I'm done now. I don't want to do this anymore. And we've seen people doing that. He says, and we collapse into discouragement, depression, or just blankness of souls. He says, everything about the hour we're living in right now is pushing our souls to that very point. And that's why this passage is so important for us. It's a recognition, as Paul had been teaching in Ephesians. Now, this is probably one of Paul's favorite churches. He loved them so much. He had trained them. He had spent time there. He had poured his life into this church. And so as he writes this very special letter to this church at Ephesus, he was teaching them about what we have in Jesus Christ. Now, we sang a lot about that this morning. And we in the catechism, in the confessions, in the prayers, we were confessing it. I don't know if you sensed it this morning, but I felt like when we came into this place that we're all a little discouraged. And what I sensed as we worshiped, that we started feeling the courage of God instead of the discouragement. Anybody in here, raise your hand if you started feeling that as you sang this morning. From the very first song that Paula led us in, we were singing hallelujah, right? And then in the confessions that we're making, and this is exactly what Paul was doing in Ephesians, where he was challenging them and reminding them what we have and how we walk with Christ and the benefits and the blessings of belonging to our Savior who died on the cross for us. And then in chapter 4 in Ephesians, he goes into very practical things about parenting and working for somebody else or somebody working for you out of their culture. And in this last section, before he leaves them, he says, you, my precious family of God, the church at Ephesus, you've got to understand how important it is to recognize that you are under a spiritual attack and you need to let God prepare you, not once a week, but every single day. So that's what he does here. And Eric, I know you already read it, but I'm going to read it again. And out of Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20, and I read this whole thing on the plane in Barbara's lap as I woke her up and read it to Primetime Peaky, which was an amazing guy this morning. But I just read, and I'm reading from the Christian Standard Bible, so it's different from yours. Just listen, but follow along. He says, finally, be strengthened by the Lord and by his vast strength. He says, he just comes on out, he says it, put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this darkness, against evil spiritual forces in the heavens. For this reason, take up the full armor of God so that you may be able to resist in the evil day. That's what we've been going through. Resist in the evil day. And having prepared everything, to take your stand. Stand therefore, with truth like a belt around your waist, righteousness like an armor on your chest, and your feet sandaled with the readiness for the gospel of peace. In every situation, take up the shield of faith, which with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request, and stay alert with perseverance and intercession for all the saints. Pray also for me, that the message may be given to me when I open my mouth, and to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. For this, I'm an ambassador in chains. Pray that I might be bold enough to speak about it as I should. Let's pray together. God, I pray that you would help us as we dig into just a little part of this passage. We just won't even scratch the surface today. But I pray that what I share and what you communicate by your Holy Spirit to the people that are gathered here, that you would encourage, that you would challenge us, that you would remind us, but mostly you would call us to confidence in you, and that you would teach us to put on daily, regularly, the armor of God. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to look at, as quickly as I can, we're going to look at three things: the preparation that God wants to do in us to prepare us as his children, and then he wants us to understand our enemy, and then he also wants us to be really acquainted, intimately acquainted with the equipment that he has given us each day. And if you're taking notes, the first thing that he wants us to do is to be prepared. To be prepared. And this is a preparation that he calls us to have before we go into the battle. Now, can you imagine if you are serving as an army ranger, or you're serving as some type of person in the military, and you've seen pictures of what military armor is like now? It's just, it looks like, how in the world can they walk around with all the stuff that they're wearing? For Paul, he was imagining a Roman soldier that would have certain types of armor on, and no soldier with good sense, whether it was a Roman soldier 2,000 years ago or someone who is a Marine today, no one would knowingly go into battle without the preparation of putting on and preparing themselves. As I mentioned at the beginning of the message, so often as believers, we are woefully unprepared for the battles that we're going into. Every single day, even if you take out pandemic and all the fear and all of the economic distress and all of the isolation and all the dissension and conflict that they brought, not just in our nation, but in our churches. And then you add on all the political division that's been going on. And then we're paying astronomic prices, and it's put so much pressure. Even if you take all those things out, we are woefully unprepared for everyday battle. Every day that we get up and we go out and we battle, the battle of just getting the kids ready for school, or for those of you who are homeschooled, getting yourself ready for school. Just think about the battle of getting ready to go and be in the office with people who don't know Christ, or battling Zoom and Zoom fatigue. All of those normal things. Paul is saying we need to be prepared. He says in verse 10, be strengthened by the Lord and by his vast strength. Paul is saying, and in King James, I like it, it says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Many of you, that's the way we memorized it growing up. And Paul is reminding his family, his church family in Ephesus, that it's not a time to be weak as a Christian. It's not time to be unprepared. And the preparation has to do not with just making, you know, us feeling like, okay, I'm ready for the day, and repeating, I'm ready for the day, I can do this, and having, you know, happy songs playing in the background. The preparation has to do with our walk with God. Because we do not have the strength in ourselves, we have to rest in him. And Paul wants us to recognize that as believers, the strength, the power is already ours in Jesus Christ. He has already given this to us. That's why it's in Philippians 4:13. It says, I'm able to do all things through him who strengthens me. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says, no temptation has come upon you except what is common to humanity, but God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way out so that you may be able to bear it. These are things that God is giving us. He's reminding us you need to have confidence because of who you are in Christ. And so Jesus Christ, who gained the victory on the cross when he took the wrath of God in his own body for us, the wrath that we deserved, he's saying, that's the power that is in you. Jesus has taken up residence in our hearts, in the Holy Spirit. We are the new temple of God. And that's why he says here, be strengthened by the Lord and by his vast strength. He's reminding us that we don't, he's not calling us to say, God, would you please give me this strength? He's saying, you already have this strength. These are things that Jesus has already given you. So we begin with the preparation, and the preparation is to understand that we have to rest in the strength of Christ. It's not inherently with us. He's made us resilient. He's given us a lot of stick-to-itiveness, But without the armor of God, without the strength of God, we are going to hit a wall at some point. And he's reminding us of that. And so the second thing that he would tell us is that we need to understand the enemy. We need to understand this enemy that we're putting this armor on as we face. He says in verse 11, put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the schemes of the devil. He's saying we need to understand our enemy. Now, I know for modern folks, a lot of times it's not popular to believe in the devil unless it's some kind of weird mumbo-jumbo kind of stuff out there. But we recognize that Jesus himself believed that there was a real devil, and he addressed him, right, in Scripture. In fact, he spoke to him. He pronounced judgment on him. The apostles believed in him, and obviously Paul does when he writes about him here. And we see him active in all of human history. He rebelled against God in heaven, according to Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, and Revelation chapter 12. He was thrown and cast out of heaven. In Genesis 3, came to earth and tempted Eve. We see in Matthew chapter 4 that the evil one tempted Christ. And that's also where we see that the evil one, the deceiver, he perverts God's word. We see that he opposes God's work in Zechariah 3. He hinders God's servants in 2 Thessalonians 2. He restricts, or he tries to restrict, the proclamation of the gospel by binding the minds of people so that the gospel cannot come to them in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He snares the wicked, 1 Timothy 3. He deceives the nations. It talks about this in Daniel and Isaiah and Ezekiel and in Revelation 16 and also in Revelation 20. The Bible describes where he fights with Michael, so he's in opposition of the angels. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, it says, the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And all this evil is basically worked through unbelievers who make up his kingdom, and that is the world system. He has personal names. He's called Anointed Cherub, the Prince of this world, the Prince of the power of the air, the God of this age, the Prince of demons in Luke 11:15. 52 times he's called Satan, which means adversary. 35 times he's called the devil or diablos, which means slanderer. He's called that old serpent, the great dragon. In 1 Peter 5:8, he's called a roaring lion who goes seeking whom he may devour. In John 17:15, he's called the evil one. In Revelation, he's given the name Abaddon and Apollyon, which is destroyer. He's called the tempter in Matthew 4, the accuser in Revelation 12, and the spirit working in the sons of disobedience in Ephesians 2. And he's described as a murderer and a liar, and he works blatantly, overtly, behind the scenes, and he sometimes he just is blatant. You just say, oh, that's the devil. He works covertly. And we cannot be ignorant of his schemes. In all these things, he's at work. And so we recognize that as believers, we are engaged in the battle, and we have to prepare for that. We have to be equipped for that. We have to know our enemy. We have to understand that we're in a battle. In Ephesians here, in Ephesians 6, he says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers of this darkness, against evil spiritual forces in heaven. And so we recognize he is our formidable enemy. And while people are his tools, the people are not the real enemy. According to Paul, it is the devil who is the enemy. Evil people are pawns, and they're people that are used for the work of the evil one. So he says, but still, with all of that, we don't fear because we serve Jesus Christ, who has all power and all authority and all honor. And it's not like you have Jesus and the devil and they're equal and they're battling it out. It's not, that's not the case. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have all power, created the world, and at any moment can just, by their word, eliminate Satan. And so it's not like they're equal in power. In fact, he says, he reminds us, for this reason you take up the full armor of God so that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having prepared everything, to take your stand. And he says, that's why it's so important for us that we recognize and that we, on a regular basis, I think Paul's calling us to do this daily, to take up the full armor of God. And that's the equipment. That's the third thing, is that we take the equipment. Paul is calling us to do, rather than when we're, you know, thinking about how, you know, this overwhelming type of evil that is out there that we face every time we walk out the door, he's saying the response is not fear, the response is readiness. He calls us to readiness, and he calls us to preparation. And he talks about specific things in chapter 6, verses 14 through 20. He talks about truth. He talks about righteousness. He talks about gospel of peace. He talks about faith, salvation, the word, and then he rounds it up, which what surrounds it is prayer. Now, back in verse 13, where he talks about this idea of the full armor of God. It comes from a Greek word that we get the word panoply. It means the complete gear. He's talking about the complete gear of the soldier, the complete gear of the warrior. And as I mentioned, he's thinking about the Roman soldier, and very specifically thinking about what that would have looked like. I like what Tim Keller said. He says, the armor is a symbol of all the benefits and the privileges of the gospel. And so there in verse 14, and I'm just going to take a little while to go through this. You know, we could spend all day talking about each one of these pieces of armor and what they represent, but I'm just going to talk through them just for a bit, as we ask God, Lord, would you give us these things? First, in verse 14, he tells us, stand, therefore, with the truth like a belt around your waist. And you say, well, what's he talking about? Just that I tell the truth all the time? Well, that's not a bad thing, but he's talking about the truth of the gospel. I'm so thankful for this church. Every time that I've been here, both in the Bible study and in your worship service, in your communications, it's very important for the leadership of this church that truth is regularly proclaimed. You don't wonder what people believe at Kahului Baptist Church. You go online, on the website, you know what Kahului Baptist Church believes. If you're here in the worship service, the songs that you're singing, the catechism that you did, the messages that come are all about proclaiming the truth of the gospel and the teachings of God, which we call them doctrine. These are the teachings. And so it's very important for us as we face the enemy that we are established and understand what we believe, and that truth comes from the Word of God. And it's important for us as we stand with truth. Now, you recognize that truth is not to be used like a weapon to knock people over the head, right? There's a call for us to be righteous, right? There's a call for us to tell the truth and to use the truth. But where we go too far is when we start beating people over the head with it, right? And that's where we have to be careful. For us, we stand on the truth of the gospel. We stand on the truth of God's word. and we use it to proclaim the gospel. The second thing he talks about is righteousness. Righteousness like the armor, like armor on your chest. He says the breastplate of righteousness. For us, every one of us in here who knows Christ, we recognize that we came to him with filthy rags, even no matter how good we looked on the outside, that when we came to Christ, that he sought us out, he loved us. We didn't even have enough a faith on our own to reach out to him. The word tells us in Ephesians, Paul talks about how he had to give us the faith to be able to reach out to him. That's how bad we were. And so the righteousness that he gave to us that we have now is his righteousness. And it's a breastplate that we wear, like a Roman soldier would wear, that is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Can you imagine if I was suiting up in Craig's own righteousness? It would be full of holes, right? But when I suit up with the righteousness of Jesus Christ, it is strong. And then in verse 15, that your feet sandaled with a readiness for the gospel of peace. The word says how beautiful are the feet of those who share the good news. This is the one who is not just standing still, but ready. They've got their shoes on, ready to go out and to share the gospel, the shoes of the gospel. And then every situation, to take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Now, one of the things that when we think about the shield, and I don't know if you ever dressed up in the shield of faith. Did you ever order that from online and pick? Anybody in here ever like dressed up like a Roman soldier with the armor of God? You're not going to raise your hands? Maybe? Okay, there we go. All right, I've got one. All right, there's another one. You admit it. Now, usually when we, there we go. We have the shield. How big's that shield? It's about like this. And so we have this image, right, of going around, and here comes the devil, and we're like, woof, 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 woof. But if you looked at the Roman soldier's shield, the one that they used, it was taller than the soldier himself. There's this giant shield. You've seen it in the movies where those soldiers are going out, and all of a sudden they get into battle form, and they're all locking them together in this like this entire shell around them, and these flaming arrows are coming at them, and they don't get through as they're locking them together. That's the image here. The image of the shield of faith, trusting in God and being prepared, waiting for those arrows to come in, and recognizing that he is the one that can extinguish every one of those temptations, every one of those attacks, every one of those parts that are leading us to discouragement. And then he says, take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The helmet of salvation that comes by Jesus Christ, by faith alone, right? God's grace alone, Christ alone, not of my own salvation, trusting in him, and the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And in verse 18, he finishes out, praying at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request, and stay alert with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. It's so interesting how he has specific examples for each of these things that we're in our preparation, understanding all of the panoply of the protection that God has given us. And then he says, he rounds it out, just saying, hey, listen, would you pray for me? Would you pray for each other? So often we feel powerless when we pray, right? We feel like we don't have power when we pray. We just want to do something, right? Some kind of thing happens. We just want to do something. I know for, Wes was talking about our Hawaii Pacific Baptist Convention. We have a little humble office over there. It's been there even before I was born. In fact, when before we were at Kalihi, when I was born, my dad was the Baptist Student Union Director at University of Hawaii. He did college ministry in Hawaii. And so right where near my office is, there's a little house, and that's where I was when I was a baby. And so it's a little location there. Some folks work from other islands, and then some of us are in the office. But every morning during the week, Monday through Friday, at 8:05, we all join on Zoom. You know, unless something is keeping us, we all join on Zoom. And we have a list of all of those 155 churches. And we have five, and we go through five and what we know is going on in those churches. And then every morning we pray for five churches so that we go through that list just about every month. And so we pray on a regular basis. And so often there's this little sense of, gosh, you know, I wish I could fix the struggle and the pain and the hurt. And then God calls us. This is the most important thing you're going to do today. Because while we love every one of those churches, right? Our power is limited. Our power is limited. But when we talk about the God who created all things and who has all power and he knows all things and he is ever present, he not only has the love for the churches, he has a power that is equal to that love. You recognize that? And Paul's saying, it's not like he's just tacking, hey, just pray for me. No, he's recognizing that the God of the universe who created all things is the one that not only loves his church, Kahului Baptist Church, but he has a power that is equal to that love that I don't have, you know. And so Paul, recognizing that, you can imagine how Paul had poured out. He talked about in Ephesians and Colossians, other places where he shares how he was praying for them. I talked about that some last time I was here, but here he's basically saying, I need you to pray for me. And he's saying, I need you. He's telling them, he says, pray also for me that my message may be given to me when I open my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. And then he says, For this I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I might be bold enough to speak about it as I should. Paul is challenging them about this spiritual armor while he's sitting in a prison surrounded by Roman guards. He's chained to one of them throughout a 24-hour period of time. They switch out. And Paul was asking them, I'm praying for you. I feel powerful praying for you because I know that God is a powerful God. But he's also asking them, they're hundreds of miles. He's in Rome. They're way out in Ephesus. And he's saying, pray for me because God, through your prayers, he's empowering me and strengthening me by his Spirit to be able to share the gospel and see lives changed right here in Rome. And that's what he's reminding us today. I'm going to ask that you stand. We're getting ready to worship. I believe, Paula, we're singing The Lion and the Lamb, right? And as we prepare, go ahead and stand up, please. Stand up. Yeah, sorry. And as we prepare to sing that and to worship, would you just bow with me as we ask God to help us in this? God, we do recognize that you have all power. We also recognize and we say God Almighty, and we see that throughout Scripture, that it is literally God of the armies. You are the fierce warrior. And we recognize that Jesus Christ, you're the one that fights the battles because you fought that original battle with Satan and you crushed him. God, you took the spear that was meant for us into your own heart so that all of our debts could be paid. Jesus, you were stripped naked of all armor and hung on a cross, and you took our shame and our sin. Remember what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, for our own sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We recognize that every piece of armor that we put on daily is something that was purchased in your blood. We thank you, and we ask that you would help us daily to do this. We thank you. Jesus, we thank you that you made yourself completely vulnerable so that we could become protected in you. And we thank you. And we pray this in your precious name, Jesus. Amen.